Welcome to the Mosaic of Marion, a weekly podcast hosted by Dr. Henry M. Meadows, Jr. and presented by Marion Baptist Church in Chatham, Virginia. It is our sincere hope that you'll join us each week as we explore what it means to be part of God's big picture through biblical discussions about the saving power of Jesus Christ and what it means for our lives each and every day, starting today.
What up out there, podcast land? How you guys doing?
Pounding on your new desk.
Can I let you in on a little secret?
Sure.
Yeah, you got my permission to. I'm sorry, I'm trying to get my headphones on.
Yeah. You ready?
Yeah.
Here's a great secret that I think people forget. Jesus is still alive.
Amen.
Ta-da!
I mean, yes, I think sometimes we think, well, he came back to life on Easter Sunday and then he died again.
Yeah,
we do kind of act like that.
I mean, seriously, at times we act like that. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, well, he's still at the right hand of the Father.
That's right.
Yep.
You know, I mean, that's why I said in my message on Easter Sunday, he's still alive.
Yep.
Every Sunday, in a sense, is literally Resurrection Sunday.
Should be. Yep.
Everyone.
Great thought.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
But anyway, and just for some people, there is a heaven.
There is.
Keep thinking there's not, and keep thinking you don't can't trust anybody. Yeah, don't worry, you won't end up there. But anyway.
I was about to say, there's also a hell. Both are equally real.
Been having that on my heart for a while.
Okay.
So we're in Mark chapter 1. We're sort of, we're Dan.
And who are you?
Oh, my name is Hank Meadows. I am lead pastor of Marion Baptist Church. Got my home slice, Miss Mona.
Hey, hey.
And over there, I know you just want to be called Pumpkin Eyes one more time.
Hey, you're Pastor Two Chains at this point.
So. Yeah,
that's right.
You don't know what that is? Go watch the video.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you something. That was heavy. We were laughing about that, bro.
In many ways.
And I won't slump in just because I was trying to be cool. Sticking chains were heavy, man. Wow. Shout out to my boy Jared Vi for that illustration that he gave me.
It's fantastic.
And I thought it worked tremendously.
Yep. It was great.
I hope the effect was everything
was.
I wanted it to be.
It was.
So anyway, any other news?
Headed to Ohio this weekend. Well, by the time this drops,
you'll have done
back.
It. I mean, you're busy. Like, you're doing that, and then you're going,
to Atlanta for evangelism.
When are you getting back?
She's not going to be here Sunday.
Yeah, I'm not
okay.
Sunday.
So you're going up there when?
Well, Thursday. Right.
Okay.
And then speaking, the retreat is Friday and Saturday.
Okay. All right.
Speaking twice on Saturday.
And then she comes back on Sunday to load up Monday and go to Atlanta to an evangelism conference.
Quite the jet setter.
Quite the jet setter. Anyway.
Yep.
So, you got any plans? I mean, me and you, we're just not to
hanging out.
We don't get asked to go anywhere and preach anywhere.
You got a new desk.
Yeah.
I broke out my summer shirts. I mean, that's about news I got.
And
right
tomorrow
now.
It's going to be freezing.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be chilly.
But, amen. Can we move on now? Or did I?
Yeah, I think we're good now.
Okay, old pumpkin eyes.
Yes.
So we're in Mark chapter 1, and by the way, you gave us this idea. You told us last week. Mona said you corrected us.
Well, we started to talk about it. And
we did. I cut you off. I was like, no, next week, and then I completely forgot it. Yeah.
Way to go, Dan.
Apparently, I have too much up here going on. That's what.
You do got to be coconut.
I hear an echo a lot. I'm just saying, there's some space to spare.
I only remember because I listened to it, so. I'm just saying. That's the only
reason.
No.
Yeah, because this morning I was like, so what are we talking about this afternoon? She said, well, Dan said we were talking about Jesus.
Well, thanks for giving me a heads up of what I said.
All right. So we're in Mark chapter 1 one more time. We're going to start at verse 9. And so a little home slice there.
Yeah.
Why don't you read and then old pumpkin eyes. Why don't you pray and then. We'll sort of jump off.
How far do you want me to read?
Just through the part we're going to talk about.
Okay.
We may get to the other part.
Okay.
The next verse after.
Okay.
But we'll see.
Probably maybe not. All right. Let's read Mark chapter 1, verse 9. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased."
All right, let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together in your word, and we thank you just for the gift that is Jesus, Heavenly Father. We just said that he lives, and we can still find hope in the fact that he still lives. He is resurrected. And let us not forget that joy and that hope that we have because of that fact, that tomb is empty. And so, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for that fact, and we pray at this time be pleasing to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I don't know. He hasn't.
Yeah, deep in prayer.
Wow.
Hey. So the part that we were going to talk about from this section.
Yeah. Sorry, y'all. So last week we talked about Judas and how, what did we talk about last week?
We talked about the lack of repentance. That,
yeah. Okay. Know. There you go. There you go. Yeah. Is that all word again?
There you go. Yeah.
I don't know. Something like Gavery.
But I don't remember last week how we got onto Jesus. And
I mean, we usually talk
we usually talk about Jesus, but I don't know how we got onto the fact that God said this is.
You well,
know,
you're the one that listened to the episode.
I know.
We were talking about how we knew. I can't remember if we brought in the crucifixion and the resurrection, but the resurrection.
How God was pleased.
How he was pleased and how we know he was pleased.
That's right. And I said the resurrection showed that God accepted his sacrifice and God was pleased with him. And then secondly, his ascension. Yes, that's exactly right, Dan. Way to do that without even listening. and then his ascension and the fact that he's at the right hand of the Father all shows that truth. So, but even at the beginning of his ministry, and that's where we wanted to go. Now think about it. You are my beloved son.
Mm-hmm.
No prophet was ever told that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
This is where it separates, you know, Jesus from all the prophets. And there is somebody, you know, told Moses, a prophet greater than thou would be here. And so we hear this. And it goes back. And every... For those that think the Old Testament is not important, so you are my beloved son. Well, it's harkens back to Psalm 2:7 when he says, "The Lord said to me, you are my son."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so there's a different relationship with this one that's now coming forward. Although mom knew all the time, Joseph knew the whole life, the world didn't.
Right.
In a sense.
Right.
Until he begins his ministry. Mm-hmm. And the very first thing we see out of Jesus in his ministry is obedience.
Right.
That God called him to be baptized. Now, so here's the question. Did he need to be baptized?
Well,
answer that as you may.
You start answering. I would hate to interrupt. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, in one of the other Gospels, John the Baptist didn't want to baptize him because he felt like he wasn't worthy to baptize. And so Jesus said, we have to do it in order that the scripture would be fulfilled. So in that sense.
In what sense?
In the sense that the scripture had to be fulfilled, that yes.
Act of obedience.
Yeah,
which he needed to. Obedience.
Right.
But did he have any sins to
no,
be
there,
repented
yeah,
of?
There,
yeah, no, not at all.
So what's the answer?
So he didn't need to because, but we don't get baptized because of our sin. We get baptized to show that we've become a new creation.
That's us.
Right.
There, when John was baptized, it was a baptism
absolutely.
Of repentance.
Yes, absolutely.
But Jesus
didn't need to.
He didn't need to do any of that.
I mean,
so he was just being obedient to what the Father showed. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, or thirdly, actually, because number one, I mean, the answer is this. No, he didn't need to be, but yes, he did need to be.
Good. I don't feel so bad about not being so clear about it. Yeah.
No, I mean, and that's perfect. Yeah. That's absolute truth.
Right.
He didn't need to be because he had never sinned.
Right.
Because if he had sinned, he couldn't be our sacrifice.
Yeah.
Right.
He would be ineligible to be our sacrifice. So he never sinned, but he needed to be because he needed to be obedient. And then thirdly, to give us the example of the fact that we should also be.
Mm-hmm.
There was, looking at something, and they were trying to translate something for a Bible for kids, and I was looking to buy this kid this Bible, and it said, just like us, Jesus had to be baptized for his sins.
Yep.
What?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. No.
It's in a popular book for kids.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember
which one. I don't like that.
No, I was like, nah, not going that route. He never said. I mean, that's pretty much a major part of salvation is his perfect death.
It's the reason he was qualified for that.
Right.
So sacrifice. What? So in what aspect? I'm gonna go deep with y'all. Mm. What aspect is he son? Isn't he God?
Yes, he was God.
Yeah,
was
God I agree from the with very that. We beginning. Do agree with that. Yes.
He wasn't created. When he was born, he didn't just all of a sudden come into existence. He was already
as
God.
Some religion say.
Right, which is why I said that. But he was always God, but he
I mean, we're swimming in the deep end of the pool.
I don't have my floaties.
But he took on that role that needed to be taken on so that he could be our savior. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm going to say about that. Because I don't want to say anything wrong.
And I think there's a couple good reasons we struggle with that answer so much. Number one, you know, in the household I grew up in, and I would say a lot of households are like this, the fact that I was the son meant, I got to watch out because if I use the wrong term, I'm really going to mess this up. That I, not in a bad, but I was lesser than my parents were as far as status. And so it's different in this case, and that's why we struggle with it so much, is we understand that they're unique, but also equal and all unified there.
Right.
Now, at the same time, the flip side of that, and the only way my little brain can kind of connect this is because he was obedient to God, what we call God the Father. And so there is that obedience and that relationship there of I'm doing what the Father's calling me to do.
Right.
Well, and I was just saying we see that throughout his the years of his ministry because I mean he prayed to the Father, and so we see that relationship throughout. So it's not we're not just making that up, but
It's not like he was less God than God the Father.
Right. Yeah. And that is a point that people struggle with because he was fully God. And so he is equal to God the Father.
Yeah.
It's just a different role that he took.
It's that heaven math we struggle with. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
So I was getting ready to throw something at y'all, but I was like,
still recovering.
We do struggle. Mm-hmm. Let's just be honest. If you say you can fully describe the Trinity, I got two words. I got three words for you. You are lying. It's a difficult thing. And I think that picture, the reason it works is because of his humanity. Mm-hmm. We can understand from human flesh. But we also do see it. Remember, he withheld some of his... I mean, I'm hoping I'm out here on thrift tonight. I'll take this leap in case somebody wants to argue with me. He withheld, which we know he did, some of his, man, how do I want to say this? For example, he goes up on the Mount of Transfiguration. He just lets his glory shine forth. Mm-hmm. Well, he withheld that glory the rest of the time on earth. Right. He was never 1 ounce less of God.
Right.
But he didn't let that.
He restrained it.
He restrained that somehow. Mm-hmm. You know, even, you know, when he said, only the Father knows the time and the hour and all that. I mean, I think Jesus knows now because he's back in heaven. And there's just seemingly some things that he withheld from his own knowledge.
For a time.
Mm-hmm. For a time. But I want to make sure you don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying he was any less God.
Right, he was still fully God, right?
Fully God,
right.
Fully man.
Right.
But it's that picture, and he did it for us in that he would, I mean, did he need to go off and pray? Oh, not really. But in his humanity, he did. Just showing us that picture.
Right.
So, I mean, this is whole thing is a conundrum of that we in our very basic, limited, finite minds, I don't care who you are, you're going to struggle, not struggle to believe.
Right.
Nope.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But to understand.
But struggle to wrap your mind around it.
Right.
I mean, just struggle to wrap your mind around the fact that he was the God man.
Yep. Right. Yep. Well, and we were even talking about that restraint in Sunday school this past week. Trying to do the math here. Where, you know, he could have stepped off that cross at any moment.
Oh, yeah.
He could have saved himself from suffering the torture that he did. But he restrained himself and chose not to. He chose to fully experience it. And his whole life is a picture of this restraint. And this restraint for our benefit, you know.
Yeah. Well, even things that he did, he restrained himself from Pharisees when you know there are times he wanted to bust him in the head.
And had every right to.
I don't know that he actually thought he wanted to bust him in the head because he's long-suffering. But they were just so ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we have at his baptism. So in the Trinity is right here, by the way. You hear God the Father speak. There's Jesus the Son, and there's the Holy Spirit as that dove. Mm-hmm. In whom I am well pleased.
Mm-hmm.
So I get this picture that for everything he had done up to that point in his life, he had done it exactly as he and the Father had planned it out from before the creation of time.
Right.
Yep. I mean, there's so often, you know, we hear he came in the fullness of time. Mm-hmm. He came at the perfect time. I think Romans talks about coming at the perfect time or whatever. So he did all that, and then he began to live the life that he had to live for you and I.
Right.
And so it's as if God is saying at the very beginning of his ministry, you've done it perfectly so far, and I am so well pleased with you.
Right, and as we look at it, so yes, he had lived his, however many 30-some years, but as far as his ministry goes, it's just starting.
Yeah.
And so it's not, and then God said it again on the Mount of Transfiguration.
We're going to go there in just a minute.
So, but it's not like God waited until Jesus did all these things in his ministry and then said, okay, son, I'm pleased with you.
Yeah.
He said it at the very beginning. And so, yes, this was an act of obedience, but it was before he began his ministry. And I just think that that is so significant because I think that we can cling to that because God is pleased with us and loves us without us. I mean, obviously he has work that he wants us to do, but his pleasure in us and his love for us isn't dependent on that.
Mm. No, because his agape love.
Right.
I mean, he loves us just because he loves us.
Right.
You know, Romans 5:8.
Right.
And I preach that each Sunday. If he could love me with my flaws and my failures and my faults, how much more is he going to love me when I'm his child?
Right, right.
To those who believed, he gave the right to be called the children of God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so, and when he sees me, he doesn't see me.
Right.
He sees me clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. That's what makes me eligible to get into heaven.
Right.
Yeah. Not because I've done anything good.
Right.
Is because I've surrendered and now I'm clothed in the righteousness of Jesus.
Now, I think that's just such a problem right now where people, you know, you have those who just outright deny Christ. I mean, you're always going to have those. But I think there's also a group that has disqualified themselves, regardless of the fact that God has not disqualified them. If they'll repent and they'll believe in Christ, if they'll come back to the family, then he'll accept them with open arms because they'll be covered in that righteousness. But I think they say, well, no, you don't understand what I've done.
I hear that. You don't understand what I've done. Well, it's not about you, bro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sis, it's not about you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Your sin is not more powerful than his blood or in his grace. Yeah.
Or they think not just the problem of feeling that they have to do the works in order to earn their salvation. But I think that there's a lot of thought out there that we have to, so I'm saved by grace, but I have to do the things that I need to do in order to keep that salvation, which is so wrong. And I had a conversation with somebody in the Barnes & Noble parking lot.
As you do.
But that was her point, was she would not say to me that she knew for a fact that she would be in heaven someday. someday. She knew that she was saved. She believed all of that. But what she didn't believe was that she didn't have to do all the good works, that it didn't matter what good works she could stack up in front of Jesus, that the payment of the penalty was enough. And so I think that there's a lot of, out there of people struggling with, you know, so yes, I've been saved, but I don't know if I'm good enough.
Well, you aren't, but
right.
And here's another.
But he is.
Yeah, you aren't, but through him, you are.
You are, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because he is.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, that's a great exchange of 2 Corinthians 5:21.
So, but it also brings up the whole thing, that whole I am enough movement, which, you know, I mean, that's the whole flip side, that in and of ourselves, we are not enough.
We're not.
No.
The only way that we are enough is through Jesus. And so we have to balance out both sides of that, that we are not clinging to one side or the other, because neither one of those sides are the full truth.
And you're not saying
right.
that you shouldn't work after salvation.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I mean,
you work from it, right?
Ephesians 2:10 says he's prepared for us good works.
Right, right.
Yeah.
All that does is get you more precious stones, mm-hmm. gold and silver for your crown in heaven. But yeah, you're supposed to work for
right,
him after
right.
salvation, but it has nothing to do with your
right.
salvation.
Yeah, right, right.
It has nothing other to do than really ultimately just your obedience.
Mm-hmm.
We miss that.
Yeah.
And I'll have preached this sermon that I'm about being a gospel presenter.
Mm-hmm.
That, and I don't want to mess this up, but there's a quote I'm going to announce, and I'm about to sneeze.
I couldn't tell if he's getting choked up or what was going to go.
No, and it basically says, why don't I just look?
Why don't I just look? Because then he has to find it.
I was about to say, it may take a while with the new desk.
No, no. It's not going to take a while. It's right here. The mark of a spirit-filled person is that they are a soul winner.
Mm.
How many of us would qualify as a spirit-filled person?
Right.
And why can that person make that statement? Because what are we called to do?
Right.
Go and make disciples. Yeah, exactly what I'm preaching.
Make that way harder than
it. Yeah, I mean, yeah. We're called to go. And he does not say pastors go. He doesn't say deacons go. He doesn't say, you know, seminary students go. He says go.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really all called. Even Timothy, who obviously was not this brash, like Paul, just I'm a force and I'm going to be out there. He said, hey, bro, do the work of an evangelist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're all called to that ministry. But how many of us do it?
Right.
Well, and so many of us don't even understand it, even on a basic level, that it's not a program, it's not nothing like that. It's the natural extension of a life walked with Christ.
Yeah.
You know, if you're in God's word, if you're in prayer, if you're in a relationship with him, if you worship daily, then that is just the next step of that being acted out. It's not this like, well, I joined the church. They got this evangelism program. You can do it in an organized manner, absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's just a natural extension, a natural response to what Christ has already done for you.
Oh, yeah, you ought to know some methods.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, absolutely.
But the message is not going to change. Mm-hmm. Whether you know the newest, latest, greatest method out there, the message is the message.
Right.
Yep.
You're a sinner.
Right.
Jesus lived perfect, born of a virgin, died for you, and rose again on the third day. You confess him as Lord mm-hmm. and Savior. And in that, you repent.
Right.
We see, and that's the part, you know, that, you can say this is a Marian thing, because, I mean, I've been talking, Bruce's been talking, you've been talking. There's got to be repentance, which
right.
is actual visible change
mm-hmm.
in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but unless you repent, Jesus said.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
This is not Hank Meadows 13:3. This is Luke 13:3 with Jesus. Unless you repent, he didn't say unless you walk the aisle. He didn't say unless you mm-hmm. say a prayer. He didn't even say unless you believe.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know somebody going to say, well, what Paul say? Believe on the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And you shall be said. Well, what did that dude do? He began to repent and change right then and that
Why
moment.
Are you going to repent if you didn't believe?
Yeah. I mean, unless you repent, which means come to your senses. That's what the word literally means. And it means you take a U-turn and begin living a different life. And there's a change. you will also likewise perish.
Right. And really, if you truly believe, you're going to come to repentance.
Yeah.
Because if you truly believe that, yes, you're a sinner and mm-hmm. Jesus died for your sins and paid that penalty, yeah. that's going to bring you to repentance. Mm-hmm. So if you feel as if you don't need repentance, perhaps you don't truly believe what you say.
Yeah,
you
or you've got what that one atheist guy says, cultural Christianity.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the greatest moments. There's no way.
That's what I get for sitting further away from the table. I didn't see the time.
One of the greatest moments. I was struggling. Excuse me. With our trip to Brazil, man, I was trying. I was kept fishing, and I kept coming up empty and Mona knows, and I was whining and complaining, and I was
our
I
pastor
was
never.
Being a brat that I was like, what the world? And then the final person I talked to with the gospel, this mother and her two kids come to know Jesus.
Mm.
So I'm on cloud nine, Mona knows. I was on cloud nine, just bebopping. So, and we're like, well, we have this social event tonight. Please come, yada, yada. Well, my interpreter was like, hey, there's Maria that you led to the Lord today, and there's her son, and there's her daughter. And so I'm up, and I thought that was the only ones in the family. She had brought her youngest two children, and the oldest of her youngest two got saved.
Yep. Yeah.
That's warning. I don't understand why it's so hard in America for us to say, I got this. I want my family to have this.
Yep. Right. And you've seen that and experienced that several times on trips where you have led somebody to the Lord and then they go and get people and come back and bring them back.
We're so funny about it here.
We don't want people to know.
We act like there's like a set number of reservations and I might get bumped if they get it. You know, I mean, really, that's.
Or like there's this scarlet letter on my chest if I tell somebody about Jesus.
I'll be one of those fanatics, you know. Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm actually going to use that, talk about that in a sermon in a couple weeks about that's the reason I got it written in some notes. Mm. We don't, because we don't want to be labeled a fanatic.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Dear Jesus, label me a Jesus freak.
I was about to say, I've been called much worse.
Anyway, all right, so we're done.
Final thought.
Final thought, if you go to the Mount of Transfiguration, God adds to God, the Father says, this is my son, him, well pleased. And I really thought we would get to this day. Listen to him.
Yes, that's right.
So now God is saying, all right, he's almost through his ministry. He's done everything. You need to hear what my son, my equal Jesus, is saying while he's here. All those commands that he had left, like I'm the way, the truth, life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
Right.
You ought to hear him saying that it's by his blood and by his body that we have to partake in. All those things that he said in Hebrews 1:1.
That's where I was going.
1:3. Read it.
Well, it is 1:1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. And so, like you were saying, we need to listen to him. Mm. And there's nothing else to be added.
No.
There are people out there who say, I got a word from God, and they present it like a fresh word that we need to add to our Bible. And no, that was the last word.
If you got a word from God, it better be something that matches up with Scripture.
Right, right.
About just him. And by the way, it's not nothing new either.
Right.
If it's new, it's not true. And if it's true, it's not new.
So often.
Yep.
I'm just saying, it's just you finally figured it out for the first time.
Yep.
And I would add this one other thing to this. God don't need you to tell me how I should live either, as far as my walk.
Only there was a way.
I've got his word.
That's it.
And his word does not bend.
Right.
All right, everybody listen. His word does not bend to your wants and desires and what you think it should be.
Right.
Yep. It never changes.
Right.
Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. His word, because this word is him, it describes him fully. He doesn't change. If it was wrong then, it's wrong now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't hate you.
Right.
Just because I'm telling you that Jesus says that's wrong.
Yep.
Matter of fact, I love you And I'm not willing to let you live that way.
And but don't ask us to deny the word of God.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah exactly. Did you have a big thought? Or you just cruising?
The only thing I had is just that.
I got a little feisty.
Those words, you know, the second half of that, with you I'm well pleased. More than anything else in my life, when I see him, that's what I want to hear.
Yes.
That's what I want my life.
Well done, my faithful and good servant.
Christ's righteousness to give me. Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. Yep. Old Dan's he's hanging around me too much. He's getting misty over there. I mean, there's just certain things. I'm with you. All I want to hear is well done, my good faithful servant.
Yep.
That's all I want to hear.
Yep.
You know, and I don't care what else he says when I get to heaven. I want to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want to. Whatever he's got for me.
I was about to say, then we get to worship for a few millennia, and then we get to keep on going.
Yeah. As if it was the first day.
Right. Yep.
Anyway. All right, let's pray, y'all. Father, thank you, Jesus, for fulfilling that role with God, as God's son, for doing everything necessary to save a sorry worthless, sin-filled pagan like me. And God, thank you for sending Jesus at the right time. Thank you for then sending the Holy Spirit to draw and to woo and to live it out through us. And thank you for giving us his word, the Bible, that we should listen to. And God, just thank you for Jesus. Thank you for you. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for being God. And help us to give you the prerogative to be God in our lives. Lord, we just love you today in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I am Hank Meadows, lead pastor of Marion Baptist Church. Got my home slice, Miss Mona.
Hey.
Got old four-eye pumpkin eyes over there.
Yep.
And thanks, y'all, for listening again.
Bye, y'all.
Scrooby-dooby-doo.